The Click and Go Travel Podcast, fueling your wanderlust with far-flung, off-the-beaten-track destinations to just across the water and everything in between.
We are back this week with a very special guest. Andy Harmer from Clear is joining Paul and I to chat about cruise holidays and the cruise industry. Hi, Andy. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Jill. You're very welcome, Andy. Great to have you on board and great to have you on for the podcast.
Yeah, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Great. So we'll get right into it. What does CLEAR stand for? And can you tell us a little bit about CLEAR?
CLEAR is Cruise Lines International Association. So we are the global organization that represents the cruise industry. So cruise, very much a global industry. We base our ships pretty much everywhere in the world. And we also source guests from pretty much everywhere in the world. So the organization, we're active in 15 countries predominantly, and we're here to support our travel agent partners, who are still our main distribution for cruise holidays, but also to support the work of our cruise industry as it continues to grow and develop.
So I think, like, Jill, in terms of our listeners, so what CLEAR does is, you know, it is that body who, you know, work very closely with the cruise lines, but then work very closely with the travel industry.
Okay.
And provide us with huge resource, training information, training resource, statistics, ideas, information, hosting different events around different types of cruise holidays, and improving the education in the travel industry and the likes of Click and Go, but also the other travel industry partners in Ireland that we compete with. But it's so important to have a professional body like CLEAR to be there pulling it all together and being a one-stop go-to resource. It's not a consumer organization.
Yeah.
It's a trade organization, but the consumer ultimately benefits because the travel industry gets trained up and resourced up accordingly. So it's great for us to be members of it, and we find it just critical to the growth of us in the Irish market and cruise.
We appreciate your membership very much. And I think one of the reasons why there's the need for the organisation to represent cruise is that we are still a very small proportion of the total holidays taken in the world. So we are still a small proportion. And actually, as an industry, we are evolving and changing very quickly. So every week you hear of new ships, new entertainment, new itineraries, new ports, new port experiences. And I think sometimes it can be a challenge for travel agent partners really to keep up to date with everything that's happening in the industry. So I think we see ourselves as very much as being that kind of way of understanding what the opportunities are for customers to take their next holiday as a cruise.
Very true. And just on that point that Andy's making, Jill, I can't remember, and you'd probably have the correct context for this, but in the context of cruise holidays as a proportion of total holidays, there's either more people go to Orlando every year or go to Vegas every year than cruise. I can't remember which one it is.
It's probably both of them, actually. So you're probably right twice. So if you think of the global industry, and actually cruise gets a lot of airtime. We get written about quite a lot. We're the talk of the travel industry, but we are really that small part of tourism. So globally last year, for example, 31.5 million people took a cruise holiday, but that's everybody in the world. And actually sailing today in the world, there are only 300 cruise ships. So actually, you know, we talk about these new ships and the variety and the choice, and that's absolutely there. But we are still a really small part of the total tourism product. Of course, in my view, we're the best part of tourism. We are absolutely offer the best type of holidays available, but we are still quite small. And actually, our growth is fairly managed. So in terms of new ships entering the market, it grows at about 3.5 to 5% each year. So we're not growing very, very quickly. We're just growing fairly steadily and in a managed way. So yes, we're still quite small, but I think perfectly formed.
I'd agree. And Andy, keeping with that size piece, Ireland is even smaller when it comes to its proportion of people who take a cruise holiday compared to somebody like one of our neighbours, like the UK. Like the UK consumer, proportion of cruise holidays taken by a UK consumer versus an Irish consumer is something in the order of 3 to 1. So there's a lot of potential in the Irish market. Why do you think the cruise industry, like small and all as it is globally, why is it even smaller again in a market like Ireland?
I think it's fair to say if I knew the answer to that, I'd probably be a millionaire or a billionaire or something. I think if you look at the way that cruise is distributed through the world, actually, there are really big both regional differences. So Europe is very different to Asia or to Africa, et cetera, in terms of source markets. But actually, each country is very different as well. And in some cases, there are no actual good reasons as to why one market grows much quicker than the other one. I think the UK is obviously closer to my heart. The UK has grown because actually there's a number of cruise lines based in the UK who are there pretty much exclusively for the UK market. So I think we've seen that development. And some of that came from the fact that a number of tour operators in the UK went into the cruise industry back in the 1990s. And that product developed. And actually people saw the opportunity for that to develop. I think the other reason is probably deployment of ships. And you can see the impact that having a ship turn around or being based out of a country has, because, you know, there's nothing easier for holidaymakers than to see a cruise ship and then to start talking maybe to their travel agent about what a cruise holiday can offer or whether a cruise holiday is affordable, etc. So I think there's a number of reasons. I think it's changing. And I think actually each market evolves and changes. I've seen big changes in the Irish market since really in the last sort of 5 to 10 years with that growing awareness of cruise holidays. But I think some of it comes down to the fact that the more that we talk about cruise to people who may not have even thought about taking a cruise, the more likely they are at some point to say, actually, I will try one. And getting people onto a ship for the first time is absolutely crucial, because once somebody's taken a cruise holiday, they are absolutely very likely to take a cruise holiday next year and the year after. I think the percentage for UK and Ireland is around 85%. So it's getting someone to try a cruise holiday for the first time. And we appreciate it's quite a big change for some people. People are used to hotels or people are used to resorts on land. That's what they book each year. So actually that leap onto a cruise can sometimes feel like a big leap, which is why it's so important for travel agents to have the right knowledge and information so that they can really offer that confidence to those holidaymakers who want to make the switch.
But that repeat level of 85% really speaks to the fact that if you give it a go, it's going to work for you. In you know, 8.5 out of 10 cases, it's going to work for you. And 8.5 out of 10 consumers repeat, repeat, repeat once they do a cruise. Yeah. Because it is just such a great holiday.
Yeah, it is.
Looking at, you know, all of that piece, and then I think, Jill, one of the points that you and I were talking about earlier was what has shifted in terms of the demographic for cruise passengers? And give us a little bit of a flavour for, you know, the age profile, because people have very perceived views of cruise who haven't taken a cruise. And also, you know, let's talk about the family market and let's talk about the couples market and let's talk about any other demographic changes that we're seeing, because I think that's of interest to people.
Yeah, and it's probably one of the biggest changes that we've seen in recent years. And actually, that's a really difficult question to answer, because actually, you know, my mantra is there is a cruise for everyone. So it doesn't matter what type of holiday that you have been taking historically or that you enjoy doing, there will be a cruise to match the holiday that you're looking for. So the demographic has changed a lot. So maybe 20, 30 years ago, it was very much dominated by couples, older couples who had the time and the money to travel by sea. Now, that's changed a lot. In fact, of course, there are still cruise lines who very much appeal to that market and very much appeal to the older guests or to couples, etc. But actually, the development in our industry has been phenomenal in that we are attracting families, we're attracting lots of solo travelers, we are attracting multi-generational groups. In fact, last year, 28% of all the people who cruised did so on a multi-generational group with three or more generations. So that has grown and developed. And there's a couple of reasons for that. I think, firstly, there are some cruise lines who very much focus on that demographic, who very much focus their ship build and the entertainment and activities and excursions and experiences they offer very much for families, and that's great. But at the same time, there are a great number of cruise lines who are very much focused on luxury or very much focused on that exploration opportunity to visit off the beaten track places. So there is such a wide choice. And I said there are only 300 ships cruising the world today. But actually, each of those ships is very different, has its own personality, has its own opportunities, and will appeal to a different segment of the market. And again, one of the roles of Clear is to work with our travel agent partners to really explain those different opportunities that are there, because actually there will be a lot of holiday makers who don't even realize that there is a cruise that would perfectly match what they're looking for.
Yeah, I'd agree.
Great. And fantastic about the multi-generational option.
And I'm testament to that. Yeah. Because I don't think there's a land-based holiday that caters to multi-generational travel as much as cruise does.
Yeah.
So you can have the grandparents, the parents and the kids. You know, you can have those three generations having a wonderful holiday on the same ship, but having very different holidays.
Yeah.
And having the space to escape so that you're not kind of holding hands or sitting side by side at the pool every 5 minutes. You are absolutely able to get away from each other and enjoy it all and then get together for the fun bits and the memory making and all of that sort of stuff. So I think the multi-generational, 28% multi-generational. Yeah. But Andy, is there now an age, average age for what somebody...
It does vary. So I think the global average is around 45 years old. I think the average for the UK that I know very well is around 55. So there's not that much variance, but as an average, that kind of works. And of course, the average is brought down by all of the younger people that we take on our cruises. But actually, again, there are some cruise lines now that are very much appealing for that younger adult audience. And actually talking about multi-generation, what's really interesting, one of the other trends that we're seeing is actually multi-generational families traveling, but actually the kids are over 18. So maybe they're not kids at all. So actually they're not looking for kids clubs and all of those activities. These are 18 plus. These are all adults. We call it adult only multi-generational because there is so much choice. And there's also great value. And I think the one thing that we sometimes don't say enough is cruising offers incredible value for money because we are a very inclusive type of holiday. We appeal to all of the group that are traveling, but actually we do it at a great value proposition. So
I think that's feeding the growth because I think that feeds the growth that encourages the first timers to think about a cruise. Because when you look at it, you know, euro for euro, pound for pound, you cannot buy an equivalent land-based holiday for that sort of price.
No.
Cruise is just, it's priced way better and what you're getting is way more.
Yeah.
So the value is really there. And I think that then feeds into the repeat levels and what we're seeing there. But yeah, I think most people would be quite surprised if they haven't cruised before to think that the global average is 45 and the UK average is 55. Like that's very young, Andy.
I didn't realize it was so young, but it is interesting. It has been coming down over recent years. And again, I think the message is getting out to families, particularly that cruising could be for them. But also, I think the message is also getting out to younger people who are adults, but are looking for a holiday where they can share that with groups of friends or they can share that with their partner or whatever. And so again, the cruise industry is very good. And I think one of the reasons that the cruise industry has been so responsive to those changes in holiday types is because they have a really close and personal relationship with guests because, you know, they will probably go ashore maybe on one of their excursions during the day, but they'll all come back for meals. They'll all spend the night together. And actually that allows the cruise lines to get really close to what people are looking for. You know, what kind of experiences can they offer to attract more of that demographic? And one of the reasons they need to know that is because when they build a cruise ship, all those cruise ships will be in service for 30 or 40 years. So they need to know that what they're building is going to not just appeal to current holidaymakers, but actually appeal to holidaymakers of the future.
Great. And how does the Irish market compare to other markets in terms of cruise adopters?
I think we've kind of said it's small. The Irish cruise market is small. That's probably a part of the fact that you're a smaller holiday market anyway. I think what's interesting about Ireland actually is that dominance in fly cruise. So actually, you know, taking a flight from Ireland to join a cruise ship is the common practice. And that's because of the deployment of ships. I think what's great about cruise is that from Ireland is that that there is a growing awareness. And actually that matches the kind of part of the cycle that we're seeing in other countries as well. So you know, the cruise industry is very mature in the UK. It's less mature in other parts of Europe. So actually France is less mature and Ireland is slightly less mature. Scandinavia is slightly less mature. But actually what we're seeing is a number of travel agencies such as Click and Go, and they really are talking about cruise in a way that we haven't seen before. And that's really building that growth and interest in cruise.
Yeah, and that's reflected in our numbers. Like we can see, you know, the stuff we're doing, we'd be launching a cruise hub in the next month or so.
Yeah.
Like our team and the investment in the team, linking in with your cruise line partners and yourselves, Andy, is really helping that because we're seeing those repeat rates with our customers when they buy a cruise and when they think about it. And yeah, it's really good. But it's great because the potential there for us, Jill, is that the Irish market is growing and growing at a pace.
And I think just quickly, the other stat that I find really interesting, so we do consumer research of 3 times a year, including in UK and Ireland. And we ask people who've never cruised before whether they would be interested in hearing more about a cruise and considering a cruise. And actually, that percentage is well over 70% now. So there are plenty of people who are thinking of cruise for the first time, and they probably just need the support of a good travel agent to explain the opportunities and to match them to the right cruise and the right itinerary, because again, that's crucial.
And I think you're right. Like, there is a cruise for everybody. Like, you know, the success of any holiday is listening to your customer and understanding what they're looking for and then matching them to that. What are some of the current trends you're seeing, Andy, in the Irish market? Are there any trends that you're seeing in the Irish market, or is it hard to identify and separate those out from other markets?
It is quite difficult, but again, actually, the trends that we see in places like Ireland are probably matched in most markets. So there's a real interest, for example, in close at home cruising. So cruising in the Mediterranean, Northern Europe is growing in popularity. People like that opportunity for a short flight. And then to join their ship and to sail close at home. We're seeing an increase in longer haul cruising. So places like the Caribbean, Alaska, even Asia, one of the last places to open up. But actually, we're seeing a growing interest in that longer haul travel. In terms of what guests are looking for, again, family cruising, multi-generational cruising is proving to be a growing trend that we've already talked about. And I think what's interesting is there is a real divergence in people looking for a cruise holiday now. So, you know, if you take Clear membership of ships, our smallest ship in membership takes just 50 guests. Our biggest ship in membership takes a few thousand. So actually, in terms of the type of guests that we're appealing to, it really is changing and evolving and really reflected in those different types of cruise that is available.
Great. And what new innovations are you seeing in terms of onboard experiences, technology, or entertainment on cruise ships?
There's another podcast or another show on that very topic. I think again, the cruise industry is being seen very much as the innovator, and that doesn't just cover kind of the options of food on board, the dining options, because again, we've seen that evolve hugely over the past 10 years. It also goes into entertainment types available, the daytime activities and experiences, as well as the shoreside experiences. And we probably don't talk enough about those shoreside experiences. Again, our research tells us that the opportunity to visit multiple destinations in one holiday, unpack only once, and enjoy a different experience in every place was really a big driver of people choosing cruise. But I think we are seen as the innovators now. So everything from wearable technology that allows you to have a smoother embarkation process, as well as do cool things such as order food from anywhere on the ship and drinks from anywhere on the ship, and the crew being able to find you and serve you that, to pre-booking dining, to multiple dining options, to the type of entertainment that, again, I don't think you see on land-based venues. I think the industry very much has invested in this, knowing that it gives us a big USP against other holiday types.
Some of the entertainment concepts, Jill, are kind of Broadway, West End, caliber. You would be paying hundreds to see some of these shows, you know, like, so from that point of view, it's great. But I also think the tech piece, as Andy is alluding to, making getting on the ship easier, getting access to your room, ordering from anywhere on the ship and somebody finding you, and even for families, being able to kind of tag the kids and be able to kind of mind the kids and know that they are safe and, you know, to be called very easily and contacted very easily from any of the kids clubs. So there's just, I am an absolute advocate for cruise, and I think Andy is 100% right there. Some of the best innovations in holidays, period, are coming from the cruise lines.
What would you say some of the biggest challenges facing the cruise industry today?
I think some of it is still awareness. I think there are still a lot of holiday makers who aren't aware of the options available and the affordability and the quality of the service and the food and everything I've spoken about, I think. So awareness is probably one of them. I think, secondly, you know, the world is a volatile place. So actually our itineraries can evolve and change. And that's the right thing to do, of course, to look after our guests and our crew, which is our priority. And then I think it's about keeping that lead position in terms of the innovation that the industry brings. And that's not just in terms of the type of holiday we offer, but also in terms of the technology investment we're making in cleaner, more fuel efficient ships, in the alternative fuels that we're using, in being able to turn off our engines in port and plug into shoreside electricity. So I think we have always been leading the way in these areas. And it takes a lot of investment and it takes a lot of time. And it's not a journey that we've just started. It's a journey we've been on for a long time. But I think that continues to be our challenge, which is to meet the needs and the demands of our guests and the destinations that we visit.
And I think that kind of challenge question feeds very closely, and Andy's alluded to it there in the sustainability piece.
Yeah.
And any time we're talking to the cruise lines, sustainability is always on their agenda. I can tell you there's very few hotel chains. There's one in particular who I speak to who sustainability is always on their agenda. I won't name them. Well, I could. They're barrister. They're really, really good at what they do. And they're really good on the sustainability
piece. They are really good, yes, they are.
They're very focused on it, and it's part of their ethos and culture. But the cruise lines in general have been very alert to sustainability issues, because I think the non-cruise consumer sees cruise as a big polluter.
Yeah.
When, you know, it's actually not really that way. Like 300 ships, 31.5 million holidaymakers versus a single destination, which has way more than that number of holidaymakers in a year, kind of gives context to the scale. But the ships are very clued in to, as Andy said, the ability to turn off the key in port and plug into local power, which is being sourced more sustainably than engines being run.
Yeah.
Better fuels, cleaner fuels. The design of ships, the design of hulls, everything is being worked on. You know, we're not talking small things like, you know, single-use plastics.
Yeah.
These are big innovations in terms of the sustainability, because the user, the consumer, is very clued into it. So it's way more important. And I would say to people, cruise lines talk about it way more than any other holiday.
Yeah, we do. And we really do put a focus on it. And again, it's because our guests want us to put a focus on, also because it's the right thing to do. But actually, those 300 ships I keep talking about, they are the most fuel efficient ships we've ever operated since cruising began. And actually each new platform, each new cruise ship design is about 10% more fuel efficient than the previous one. So I think we are making great strides, and that's right and proper. We have very strict targets in place that we've set that we will measure ourselves by, but we continue to work and evolve just as the availability of those alternative fuels become available, just as new technology becomes available. And actually, again, the cruise industry, which is only 1% of total shipping in the world, we are very much at the forefront of that journey.
And we just have two final questions.
Yeah. What do you see the future of cruising? What do you see as the future of cruising?
Gosh, I think it's very bright for a start. I think we are, as more people are trying cruise, more people are staying with the cruise holiday choice. And actually, one of the exciting things, I think, for the cruise industry is that we now have lots of small people and children cruising for the first time. Actually, suddenly to them, as they're getting and becoming adults, cruise isn't something different that we need to educate them upon, because they've already taken their cruise holidays with their families. So I think that opens up a huge opportunity for us. I think we're certainly seeing the trend that people, in addition to those close at home destinations and those well-known destinations such as the Mediterranean and Caribbean, Alaska, etc., we're seeing people demanding itineraries and looking for itineraries that take them off the beaten track. So places like the polar regions we've seen an increase in, or South Africa, South America, some of those small islands in Asia, etc. So people are looking for very different experiences. And I think the industry has grown and evolved that it's now offering that choice of experiences, but that will only grow and evolve. And again, we will be at the forefront, I think, as we continue to meet the needs of our customers.
Great. And our last question is, what is your top tip for someone considering a cruise holiday for the first time?
Do it. No,
just do it.
just do it. I think we're very fortunate in Ireland that we have some great travel agent partners who are very knowledgeable, who are clued up, who are keeping an eye on what's available and what's new and what may appeal. So I think the best advice is talk to a travel agent, talk to your local travel agent. We would love you to talk to a CLEAR member travel agent, of course, because they have access to some great resources and information. But talk to your travel agent, because actually finding the right cruise line and the right ship and the right itinerary is really important, so that you have a great holiday and will tell your friends and will cruise again in the future.
And I would absolutely, like, in terms of my Irish Travel Agents Association role, advocate that it is about talking to a travel agent. Ideally talk to us, but talk to a travel agent and talk to a travel agent who asks you the right questions. Like, challenge them in terms of what you're looking for and challenge them in terms of what they come back to you with, because it is important to you get it right. Like, it's your money, it's your holiday, it's your time. But some really good insights there, Andy.
Pleasure. And talk to a professional, because, you know, travel agents, I've been trained and educated and been on fam trips and seen ships and seen product and have access to resources and information that you can't get anywhere else. So, that importance of your local travel agents.
And just one last thing on the Irish piece, Jill. It is worth pointing out that, like, the UK have tons of ships that sail out of Southampton.
Yeah.
The Irish ports, there's very little that sails directly from here. There's a small number and it's a very small program. It's very limited. So for Irish consumers, for the most part, the ability to cruise from Ireland is somewhat limited.
Yeah.
But they need to get, beyond that, because for the most part, it's a short 2.5 hour flight to Barcelona or to Rome or to Venice or to Palma, wherever you want to pick up your cruise, and you're already in good weather.
Yeah.
So we've bypassed the Bay of Biscay. We've bypassed the English Channel. We've bypassed all of that bad weather and possibly windy weather. And you're going to be down in the Med, or you're going to be over in Alaska, or you're going to be in the Far East, or you're going to be in the Caribbean, and you're going to be, or in New York, and you're going to be sailing out of a stunning, stunning, stunning destination. So, Ireland, not great choices in terms of direct cruise.
Yeah.
But my God, the world is your oyster when it comes to getting on an aircraft and being on the ship within a day.
And look, we put it all together. We add the flights. We get you the right cruise.
We do it all.
Great. Thank you very much for joining us today, Andy.
Thank you so much for joining us. Always good to get kind of the industry overview. Very much appreciate your kind of independence and your knowledge, and those numbers and those stats help us to get a different view over to our consumers, which is really great.
Always good to talk to you. Thanks for having me. Thank you.
Thank you for joining. And if you'd like to follow us on our social media channels, you can do on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok and Twitter. And if you have any suggestions on any content you'd like to hear on our podcast, please email us at podcast@clickandgo.com. Thanks very much for listening, everyone. Bye. Thanks again, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
Cheers. Bye.